My voice, and you know that cares up. I'll be home at last and there but to rejoice.
Amen. For those who don't know me, I'm Xavier Lewis. I am the son or the baby boy of Vernon and April Lewis. If you don't mind standing. My parents. Well, I'm thankful for Brother Gary and Brother Raj for giving me the opportunity to come and break a portion of the gospel to you. And I'll be reading from Luke 14, chapter 28. It's Luke 14, chapter 28, and my grandfather read that for your hearing. Luke 14, 28. And it reads, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it?" And so my sermon today will be the cost of discipleship.
All right. Amen.
The cost of discipleship.
Amen.
And so first breaking down that word, to be the disciple is first is to be a learner or to, I guess, learn up under someone, and through your time learning up under them, you learn to obtain the knowledge and abilities that they have from that point in time. And now, getting into the sermon. Acts 14, starting at verse 25, it reads, "Now a great multitude were going along with him. He turned and asked them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.'"
Amen.
And my first point is that you cannot follow him superficially.
All right.
And we see that there's this great crowd following him. But we know in those crowds, you have those who follow him for the benefits. They don't want to work for those benefits. And so verse 26, he lays down some stipulations. You gotta hate your father, you gotta hate your mother, you gotta hate your own life. And as a human being, it's always me over you. And so hating my own life to do something for someone I haven't seen, I don't know about, I've only read about, is asking a lot to do. And we always think it as an army, how God is not a false recruiter. He wants those who will fight the good fight from beginning to end. And I mean, I don't know if you have any military people, but I know there was a movie that I once saw that it was Navy SEAL training. And in the beginning, they have all these people. And by the exit, there's a bell with a helmet. And for those who cannot complete it, they ring that bell and go out.
Yeah.
That's what God is doing here. We're each that Navy SEAL. And as we go through life, one by one, ding. And he's waiting for the end time for those who stayed to be that fighting soldier.
Amen.
And he demands that those who do fight all the way through. Now, my second point is that you have to consider how great the cost is, because although being baptized is part of it, once you get out that water, it's a lot more you have to do.
Amen.
And confessing it, although that is part of it, once you hop out that water, your life changes.
That's it.
For good, but evil will come back at you.
Amen.
I'll read Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. This is the story of the young rich prince. And it reads, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness.
Amen.
Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
And the young man said, Have I kept all these things? What still am I lacking? Jesus said, if you wish to complete, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have the treasure in heaven, and come follow me.
Amen.
But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved and was the one who owned much property. And in this paragraph right here, we see the young rich prince, man who owned a lot, but he had a zeal for eternal life. So Jesus broke it down, was like, well, 10 commandments, have you kept them? Well, I have kept them. Okay, part one. Part two, give up your stuff and come follow me. And although it seems like, oh, I gotta give up my stuff, but the main thing he's asking in this part is to give up your time. And that's something you can give up but cannot get back. And that right there is the cost of being a disciple. Because from that time you come out that water to the time you die, that time you spend, that we each come up with a date of birth and a date of death. That dash right there in the middle, that's what we've given up to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Christ. And whatever you do in that time can either be for the good or for the bad of Christ. Those two things. And in back in Luke 14, verses 34 and 35, if you don't consider the cost and just go in head first and you fall away, you become like the salt. Therefore, salt is good, but even if salt had become tasteless, what will the salt be seasoned? Excuse me. It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear.
Amen.
Now, each of us, we're that grain of salt.
Yes.
And when you're baptized, you get your taste. The saltiness taste to season a little bit. But as you go on, it's up to you to keep that taste.
Yeah.
If you fall away, you slowly lose that taste.
Amen.
And at the end, God wants those who still have their taste.
Yes.
You can't go to God tasteless.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to have that taste, because without that taste or without that material, you're useless.
Amen.
You can't use for the soil or for the manure pile.
Right.
Doo-doo. So you got to consider that cost, because if you don't consider that cost, you're going to wind up jumping into something that you have no business in, and you're going to hurt the next person, because you never know who's looking at you.
Amen.
Because I can be baptized next day, start drinking. Oh, well, I can go drink too. Then they slowly fall away.
Amen.
And thirdly, you have to, it's mandated to put him above everything.
Amen.
In your life. You can't have nothing level to him. He has to be up top.
Amen.
And in Exodus 20 and 5, won't read it, but it says that I am a jealous God.
Yeah.
Also in Exodus 30 and 14, he also states, I am a jealous God.
Amen.
And although it seems as if you have to hate everything, but that hatred is not physical hate. Since we're told to love, it's talking about the alliance or the relationship between God and man.
Amen.
You have to love God so much that it looks as if you hate your brother, your life. And once we're able to put him above everything and notice the path set forth and notice the cost of it, we're willing to give up our time without even thinking about it. Because this, I don't know how long we're going to live, but this life is like a mountain. We're each at different points in our life. Some are climbing it up, some are going down.
Yes, sir.
But if you can find where you're at and hold on tight and give time,
amen,
God will be with you,
amen,
throughout your life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
We're singing, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, and I'm there to sing forever. His saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift up my voice, and you know that cares are past. I'll be home at last and never to rejoice.
In case you didn't hear him, Xavier told me to give y'all that work. So with that tough act to follow, I hope I do right by God. Now, before I start, I'd like to give thanksgiving, since this is the season. I'd like to thank God first for the opportunity and the blessings that he had provided me with. And I'd like to thank him, and I ask for his prayer that I will be giving a sermon according to his word.
Amen.
I would like to thank some special people also. I'd like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to stand right before you people.
Yes.
I'd like to thank Brother Gary. I'd like to thank him for his belief in me and Xavier.
Amen.
I'd like to thank him for his encouraging words, constant encouraging words.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Brother Davis and Brother Murphy for being such an exceptional role model and telling me and showing me what a young Christian should be. I'd like to thank you, my Fifth Ward family. You were always behind my back, and I know you will still be behind my back. I would like to thank my family who came out tonight and to support me. I love you guys, and I appreciate your sacrifice, and I am truly blessed to have all of you guys in my life. If I had to ask you guys a question, let's say, what is the greatest gift you ever received? What would you say? Would you say a new car? Would you say a new house? Would you say some toys? Would you say some new clothes? What would be the greatest gift you've ever received? My lesson takes place in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read the whole scripture.
Amen.
And then we're going to go and break it down piece by piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't be too long now. Don't be too long.
All right.
Take your time.
Take your time.
Take your time.
Take your time.
That's right.
Mr. Lewis, can you please read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10?
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms to them who entered into the kingdom. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He gave heed unto them expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have no, but such I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk."
Amen.
And he took him the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and ankle bones received strength. He was leaping up, stood standing, and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonders and amazement at that which had happened unto him.
Now, I think we missed something. So can we please go to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6? We're going to break it down.
Now, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for them who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such I have give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk."
All right. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 and 1. Peter and John are on the way to the temple, which is called Beautiful. Verse chapter 2, verse 2. This man who is paralyzed from birth at the temple every day, laid. He couldn't go into the temple of God. He had to be laid outside, cast away. Sound like many of us. Now, verse 3 and 4, Peter and John notice this man and they study him. They don't just look, they study him. And in verse 5, the man looks at them right back. He studies them too. And he anticipates that they will give him some alms. Now, we've said alms, 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 but what is alms? The English translation says that alms is material things like money and food. But the Greek translation says that alms is compassion and mercy. So not only was this man asking for money and food, he was also asking for compassion and mercy. Now, verse 6, this is where things get a little better. Now, Peter says, "I cannot give you silver and gold, because silver and gold will not sustain you. They will not aid you. I must do my job as a man of God to get you something better. I must get you what I have been given."
Yeah, preacher.
So, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I must give you the power of knowing Jesus. Now, we were also reading a scripture. We like to break it down, but we like to ask questions. We like to ask, I had three questions I had. Who is this Jesus person?
Help us with that.
Well, greatly, whenever you have a question, the Bible has an answer. So, if you want to find the answer, go to John chapter 1, 1 and 14. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And part of John chapter 1 and 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, who sent this Jesus? That's the second question. The answer, John 3:16, the same book. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Okay, now we know that who Jesus is, and now we know who sent Jesus. Why was he so important to sin? Jesus answers this question. In John, same book, chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Let's talk about the life of this Jesus person. I'm not really sure I really grasp this. Jesus was born to a virgin in Bethlehem. I know it's shocking. He was born to a virgin in Bethlehem. And from his human age, he worked with God from 12 to 33. Also, he came down from heaven to earth while we are trying to go from earth to heaven. He was was a carpenter. And a carpenter back in the day, they worked with large stones and heavy beams of wood. But the thing is, they couldn't go home to AC. They couldn't go home to a shower. They couldn't go home to a bathroom.
Amen.
The nearest river was miles away.
Amen.
And in his ministry, he healed sickness, blindness,
right.
deafness,
right.
leprosy,
right.
lameness,
right.
those possessed by demons.
Right.
Even when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the devil tried to tempt him, and he still held fast to which is good.
Amen.
But with all that he did, he was scorned.
Right.
He was ridiculed.
Right.
He was hated.
Right.
He was rejected.
Yes.
And finally, he was crucified.
Yes.
Now, what involved in this crucifixion process?
Right.
Jesus suffered physical abuse.
Yes.
He was spat upon, humiliated, battered, bruised, dehydrated, exhausted, mocked, stripped, bound, whipped. He was beat so bad that his skin hung on his back like ribbons. He was oozing blood. And they kept doing this until he was near death. It didn't end there. From then on, he had to carry his cross a long journey. He was offered vinegar to drink. Let us not forget the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. He was nailed to the cross by hands and feet. He had to keep on putting pressure on these nail wounds so that he wouldn't suffocate. He was pierced in the side. That same Jesus we talked about in John 1:14. That same Jesus we talked about in John 3:16. That same Jesus that was in John 10:10, and he came back. Why? He came back because it was a symbol.
Lord.
A symbol that even though he would always be here, and not even death can prevent that.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that same Jesus that was brought like a lamb to the slaughter after he did nothing wrong came back with all power in those hands.
Yeah.
That is who Jesus is.
I got him now. That's it.
So now that we know who Jesus is, let's talk about his relationship with Peter. Because this is important. In Matthew 4:19-20, while Jesus was in the recruiting business, he saw Peter and Andrew and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately followed him.
Amen.
This is what knowing Jesus gave Peter. It turned him from a fisherman into a fisher of men.
Yeah.
It gave him a loving friendship. There's evidence in that in John 15:15. It inspired him to write 2 books of God's word. It blessed him with the ability to see true glory. It gave him spiritual grooming. Check this out. Jesus gave Peter his love and his blessings so that in return, Peter can give the man Jesus his love and Jesus his blessings so that in return, the man could give Jesus his love.
Yeah. Like that.
See, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like when the man said, when Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk."
Yeah. Power. Yeah.
That still ties into Acts 3:6. So, can you please read Acts 3:7-10? We're going to tie this all together.
All right.
"And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he was leaping up, standing, and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonders and amazement at that which had happened unto him."
Had Peter not provided the man with the gift of knowing Jesus and receiving the love and the blessings, the man would have still had his disconnection from the church. The Bible said that the first thing the man did when he received the gift, he leaped right up and immediately went to the temple praising God. Amen. The Bible says in Matthew, when Jesus said, "Follow me, come fishing men," Peter immediately followed him.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, the greatest gift that we've ever received is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I told you what the gift is. How do we utilize this gift?
Right.
When we're little kids, we have these toys, but we tend to neglect our gifts.
Yes, we do.
We try to throw them all out of the way. We don't appreciate them. Well, Jesus is a whole different gift. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving.
Amen. Amen.
I invite you, who may not know who Jesus is, to know him.
All right, man.
How do you do that? By hearing his plan for your life.
Amen.
By believing that he was sent by God to save man from his sinful ways.
Yeah.
By repentance. Repentance involves changing the direction in your life. Confessing that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God.
Amen.
And our way and only way to salvation.
Amen.
And by being baptized, becoming one with him through burial in water. The invitation is open to those who choose to become his child.
Amen.
As we stand.
Amen.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul.